Kind Father, we love you, we bless you, we magnify you, we adore you, we place none other before you. We lift you up high above all our problems. We lift you up high above all our circumstances. We lift you up high above everything and every care in this world. God, I thank you so much for loving me. I thank you so much for keeping me. I thank you so much for leading us and guiding us and directing us to all path, our path that led us to this point in this day and has led us to this point in this hour. God, I thank you for the opportunity to come before your presence. I thank you for the opportunity to come before your people, to share your word, to share your good news, to share the gospel, to share how much you loved us so much. God, I asked you to get inside of everything that I say, everything, every thought that I bring about. God, get inside my mind, get inside my mouth. God, I yield myself and make myself open and accessible to you. God, let everything that I say, everything that's coming forth out of my mouth today be pleasing in your sight, be edifying to those that hear it, God. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen. Good morning. God bless you, City Reach. Thank you so much for joining with us again as we endeavor to join out and to do what God has called us to do and to spread the love of God, spread the word of Jesus with us. I'm thankful and I'm grateful for you sharing your time with us and you spending your time, your Sunday, your weekdays with us and with me. And I'm honored and grateful that you spent the time out to bless us and with your presence and just share with us. We're going to continue with the series we started out in the beginning of the month, with the series talking about unity, how God has called us as a body, as God has called us as a church, as God has called us as a people to unity, to be united together as one, not the same, but as one. He wants us, he calls us to unity. So much and so far in this past years and decades even, the church has been divided. The world has been divided and fighting against each other, and a building or a city or people that are not, cannot stand together are easily defeated. And so God doesn't want us to be easily defeated. He wanted us to be united as one from the beginning, as a church. When he called us to called out ones to be a church, he called us to be one and to come together in agreement. For a scripture or text that we started out with, that we're going to continue with in this word of unity, this topic of unity, we're coming from Ephesians, the fourth chapter, starting with the first verse, and it says, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love." And I repeat that second verse again. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. And last week we talked about being humble and how God wants us to be humble and put others above ourselves and not worry about ourselves and worry about our own brand, worry about our own feelings and worry about us trying to get ahead. And we're going to continue on with that. We're going to be talking about gentleness, where he says, be humble and gentle. And when you think of being gentle, one thinks of being kind. One thinks of being just like giving unto others and being having a kind word, a soft word, and gentle to react. We can't control the things that come into our lives. We can't control the actions or the things that are done to us, but we can control our reactions and how we respond. And God wants us to have a gentle response. It doesn't mean we're weak. It doesn't mean we're pushovers. It doesn't mean we give in too much that we don't get our way or that we don't get God's word or God's will accomplished because we get just bending over and letting people just walk all over us. But there's a way to respond, and the response is with God's gentleness. God's gentleness. For scripture, we're going to go to the book of Colossians, starting with the fourth chapter, reading with the fifth and sixth verse. Colossians, the fourth chapter, and the fifth and sixth verse. And it reads, "Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. I'll read that again. Be wise in the way that you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. And when this was written to the church in Colossae, this was written to the Apostle Paul, wrote this to encourage the believers, the church, to watch how we treat outsiders. And outsiders was a way of saying people that really weren't of the faith of Christian and of walking in the way of church, of being in the church, being in the called out ones, be they Jews and be they Greeks who are actual inhabitants or people natives of the city of Colossae. And so what happened was, it's like wherever they go, God's word has an opportunity, or God's love has an opportunity, or even God's gospel has an opportunity to be spread, not just in the pulpit, not just in the synagogues, not just in the churches, but even in their various workplaces, or in the marketplace, or even where they're hanging out with their children or with their friends, or at family reunions. Even God wants us to have, he wanted us to have a way of response that was gentle, that was kind, that wasn't lambasting. I wasn't pointing your fingers at it and yelling and kicking and screaming and saying, I have the answer and you don't, then you're going to hell and I'm not. And, you know, God wants us to have a gentle response. When I grew up, I was born in church, in Pentecostal church. And a lot of times when we got saved, or we came to know, accept Christ into our hearts, we got saved out of fear of going to hell. So basically, we got the hell scared out of us. So that's why we got saved, because we were afraid to go to hell. Nowadays, you really can't bash people, or you can't scare people out of hell, because we're living in hell right now. And it's like, well, what worse? How much worse can it get? You know, things are bad right now. And you look at the church people for say, and why would I want to go to a heaven with people like you? And you can't love. You're mean. You're nasty. You're always pointing out my faults. You make yourself seems look better because you're not doing what I'm doing. But 5-10 years ago, you were doing the very same things, but you must have short-term memory or doing something different, because all sins are just that, they're sin. So it doesn't matter what sin it is. If you all participated in sin, we've all are sinners by nature. So you can't walk around in fear of going to hell, or trying to bash people out of hell to try to get them to come to Christ. You know, it's just not going to work. You got to do that with gentleness. You got to do that with kindness. You got to do that with love. A gentle response is turns away wrath. It's just a way of we respond, or we respond to others, the way we respond to people that are outsiders even. You know, how do we show who we are? How do we know that we're Christians? By the way that we show our love, not just to other Christians, but to everyone. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what sin you practice or what sin you excel in. It doesn't matter. We got to show gentleness. We have to show them gentleness. And we are able to win them over by the way we react and by the way we show God's love gently. Amen. And it says to be wise in the way that you act toward outsiders. So think about that. Be wise. Have the spirit of wisdom. Have the gift of godly wisdom to show you how to react. So when I go to work, God, pray, God, show me how to act. When I go to the marketplace, or go to the mall, or go to a shopper, or the grocery store, God, show me how to act. Why? Because others might be looking at me. And I don't want my testimony or what my actions to turn people away from you. A lot of people are turning away from God and are leaving the church, not because of God, but because his representatives. We've been misrepresenting God by the way we act. We've been misrepresenting God by how much we talk about other people. We've been misrepresenting God by how much we talk about other church people. By the Facebook posts that we post, making fun of church and making fun of others in church and talking about other, what they believe or what they don't believe, talking about this type of the body of the church, this body of believers. We talk about the Baptists, talk about the Pentecostals, talk about the evangelicals, talk about the Protestants and all the other areas of religion. And it's like, well, why would I want to serve a God that doesn't like more than he likes? He hates, you're showing a God that hates more than he loves. And God is all about love because God loved us even in the midst of our sin. He loved us in spite of our sins. So why can't we show the same love? So that's why a lot of people grew up in church or were been exposed to church, have been not just exposed to church, but has been exposed to church antics, have been exposed to church, the protocol, the church, the things that go that are not really God and what God ordained or what God meant or what God established as his church to act or behave toward each other. We can't show love to the world if we can't show love to each other. If I don't love myself, how can I show love to others if I don't love myself? So if we as a church can't love ourselves in spite of ourselves, how can we show the love of God to others? So we must first love ourselves, forgive ourselves, so that we'll be able to forgive others and show love to others. That makes sense? Show love. So be prayerful at how to wisely act to others, to outsiders, because they're looking at you. You're writing a book that they're reading and you don't even know about it. You know, you're making a statement about God, about who you represent, even when you don't think no one sees you. Even when you think you're by yourself, even when you think nobody hears what you're talking about or hears what you're saying or notices that post or notices what you're putting up or notices the videos that you're taking. People see. God sees. If you don't want God to see or be pleased with what you're saying, then reconsider that. If you're thinking about posting something, if you're thinking about saying something, think about the response that God might give you when you post that. Think about the response that God might give you if you say that, if you react the way that you want to react or that you're going to react. Be wise about that. Use wisdom. Think before we react. We're not animals. We don't just fly by the seat of our pants. We don't just do things but by nature. We have a will to think. Use that will to think and allow God to guide you and to into all truth, guide you into wisdom so that you be able to act wisely, so that when others see you and others hear you, they'll receive the good news of God, receive the good news of Jesus. Amen. And this happens, it says, make the most of every opportunity. Never give up the chance to do what God's called you to do. There's always a chance for you to show what God's doing in your life. Even when you don't think you're doing anything, opening the door for somebody, smiling at somebody, let somebody in traffic. You don't have to say, God bless you. Or you don't have to do all, the big Jesus sign on your bumper sticker. All you got to do is be nice. Be gentle. Somebody's going off on you. Be gentle. And walk in wisdom. Allow God to order your steps. Amen. St. Francis of Assisi says, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words like that. Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. Which means that wherever we go, we have the opportunity to preach the gospel. And it's not necessarily when we're opening our mouths. People don't hear sometimes what you're saying because they see what you're doing. And if I say I love Christ and I say, Jesus, God bless you, but if I'm just doing something wrong or my actions don't match up to what my lips are saying, there's a mismatch here. There's some kind of a dichotomy or a divide, would you perhaps, in, of the body. If my lips aren't matching up to what my hands are doing, if what I'm saying doesn't match up to where I'm going or the places I end up at, but I'm saying God loves you, God bless you, but I'm ending up at different places that I shouldn't be going to. People watch that. And that speaks volumes. People can see you before they can hear you. I can see whoever's coming down the street, and I can decide whether I want to go the one way or go the opposite way to greet them based on their past reactions and the past history with me. You got people that call your number, call your phone, and you see their number come up on the caller ID. You have the opportunity to either accept it or decline the call. And like it or not, people are doing that with us, with the gospel message that we preach. You might have a great message, but because of a past actions, that they won't accept it because of the way we've been acting, the way we do things. You know. You thank God for you got your spam and your call block callers and your block IDs and call. You know, for people that are calling for. You know, I like to call for your extended warranty of your car. Your automobile warranty is running out. Please call this number. Call us back to extend your warranty. Or this different, you know, techniques and things like that to be calling. And, you know, it's like you see them and you're like, I don't even want to be bothered. Don't let that be said about you. People, you might have the good news of Jesus. You might have a great, awesome testimony. But because of your actions, they're not going to be received. I know Saturday mornings when we were growing up, we would do laundry, do cleaning around the house before my mother let us put the cartoons on. And then sometimes, before you know it, all of a sudden you hear a knock at the door and you look out. Oh, Lord, it's Jehovah Witness. And so you're trying to hide from the curtains and you're like, say, don't answer that door. You don't want that to be you. I'm not trying to shoot down Jehovah Witnesses, but that's how our reactions were. The gospel message that they had to preach didn't get heard because it's like, we don't want to hear that. Don't let that be said about you. Amen. Ephesians 4th chapter and the 29th verse says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for the building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Read that again. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Don't talk bad about people. Don't talk about people. Don't curse people out. Even the leaders, don't curse out the government and leaders. Don't let that be heard. Just pray for them. Even if you don't have anything good to say about them, if you don't agree with what they're saying or the decisions that they're making, just pray for them. You don't have to be in agreement. You don't have to stand with them. But I'm just going to silently pray and let God work it out. And then when I have the opportunity, I'll vote. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Because people listen to that. And it's funny, there's a scripture that's like, there's not what comes into your body, that defiles you. But what comes out, that defiles you. The words that you speak can be blessings or can be cursings. Are you going to bless or are you going to curse? You can't do both out of the same mouth. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for the building others up according to their needs, so that it may be beneficial, so that it may benefit those who listen. Be helpful. Whatever you have to say, let it mean something. Let it make it have an impact. Let it be helpful. Even if you don't see the results, give them an encouraging word. God bless you. You know what? God loves you. I'm praying for you. I may not have the answer, but I know someone who does. And I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to lift you up in prayer. Hey, I understand. I see you're without some, you need a glass of water, or you need a bottle of water. Here, let me help you out with that. Here, let me do this. Let's build you up. Oh man, you fell down. That's okay. Get back up. God loves you just the way from where you are. You don't have to stay down there. You don't have to stay down. You don't have to wallow in sin. You don't have to wallow in your den of irrepute or den of like irrepair. You don't have to stay broken. I've been broken too. I've been hurt too. People left church have hurt me too. But you know what? You don't have to stay there. I've forgiven. You can forgive too. Why? Because Christ has forgiven me. Come on, let's do this thing together. Just be helpful. Show loving kindness. Amen. 1 Peter 3 and 15 says, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Always be prepared to have an answer for everyone who asks to give the reason for the hope that you have. I have this hope in Christ because Christ is my Lord. Christ has forgiven me. I'm a new creature. And do it with gentleness and respect. Why? I'm not that great, but Christ loved me anyway. Not saying that I'm better than you, or don't be like that. Like, I'm better than you and you can't be as great as me, or you're going to hell because doing it. Just like, look, I've been where you're at. I can write a book about it. I've been down that path. I've been down that road. I know where it leads to, but I can rather show you a better way. Come here. Let me show you. Gentleness and respect. Amen. And in the scripture that we read at the beginning, where it says, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders, make the most of every opportunity. The second verse, the sixth verse says, let your conversations be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. And we're talking about your answer be seasoned with salt. It is summertime. It is cookout season. It is family reunion time. It is time for, now that most of us have been vaccinated, have had the vaccine shots and have our shots, and we're able to congregate together outside or congregate with our family and loved ones, something that we couldn't do last year. And we thank God for that. Now is the time to come together. We have the big eat-alongs, and we have the reunions and the cookouts, and everybody's getting together, and you're making a call. Who's going to make the potato salad? Who's going to make the macaroni and cheese? Who's going to bring the ribs? Who's going to bring, you know, things like the different things and different ingredients and the different pots and the different things for your cookout? You always want the ones that know how to cook their dish to bring that dish to the cookout. You always want that one who knows how to make the potato salad to bring the potato salad. You always want that one that knows what they're doing behind the grill, right? You don't want a novice, or you don't want anybody that doesn't know how to cook or doesn't know how to season their food. right? So, because it'll be well received. So that means that the message that we receive, the message that we give, the grace that we give, the answer that we give needs to be well seasoned, needs to have some flavor, needs to have something that it will be well received by those who we give it to. You don't want to go to a cookout or a party and have your macaroni and have your string beans with just string beans and no flavoring, no salt or anything like that. It's got to season it up a little bit. Not too much, but just enough where it is well received. And that's how our answer should be. That's how we should treat the gospel, that message that we receive, the answer that we give to others so that are the outsiders. We should give our testimony, our response with a little seasoning, with salt, so it adds a little flavor. And salt is also a preservative, which means that it's long lasting. So don't just give a little tiny word, or give them something that has some substance that will last to them, that will, people that will remember them, remember that message by, remember what you got to say about. Even if you don't think that it means much, your response to a simple question or your simple response may not mean much to you, but it meant either world to somebody else. You're like, oh, sis, when I saw how you're dealing with you raising your children by yourself and you just give God all the praise and you're saying that it's only because of God that you're able to do what you're able to do, that lets me know that I can do the same thing too. And you may not know that I'm watching you, but I'm watching you. And I want to thank you for your message. I want to thank you for your testimony, your gospel message that you're preaching by just living. And your response has never been looking down on me. You've never talked about me. It's always been seasoned with grace and humility. Amen. And you don't want to be, like I said, too salty or too much flavor that it's, just, you can't, it's just unfat. You can't eat it at all. It's like, you know, it's one thing to have a little flavor to your food, but it's another to have too much flavor. And it's just that, and it's just, you have to just throw it all away. It's just corrupt. And it's just like, it's just like evil communications corrupt good manners. You don't want to be so far out there that you're just so, there's no manners to it. There's no seasoning to it. It's just like, or too much seasoning to it. And it's just like, that's just nasty. You know, the way your response is just, it's just too much, too harsh. It's too, it's just too much. And it's to the point where it's evil and it's corrupted. So they want your response to be corrupted and not well received and be able just to be thrown away. Amen. And because the thing of it is, when we talk about a response to the hope that we've been given, to when people ask what's going on, or we share the good news or share what Christ has given, done for us, and who he is in our life and how much he's loved us and how much he's done for us, we want that to be well received, and we want that to be affected to the ones that we're talking to. But if we don't season it properly, if we don't season it with gentleness and kindness and with grace, it will be rejected, because we can't accept what you don't respect. You can't accept what you don't respect. If I don't respect the person that is talking because they don't seem to respect me, then how can I accept what they have to say? If everything you're saying is negative and all of a sudden you want to tell me about a loving Jesus, I can't accept that because I can't respect what you have to say. So in order for me to taste what somebody has to offer me, I have to trust what they have. I have to trust the person. I trust the cook that they are. I have to trust who they are so that I'll be able to accept the offering that they have to give to me. And just in that manner, they have to trust. You have to be able to be trusted. You have to be able to be tried. Even if it's just a little bit, just you have to be trusted. You can't be mean. You can't be ornery. You can't be nasty. You can't be too much. Some people are so deep that it's just like, you know, it's just like, I can't take it. You know, good morning. God bless you. I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm blessed of the Lord and da 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 da. And you're so, your response are so churchy that it's just like, it just has no meaning. It just like bounces up to this something and bounces back. Like really you're that deep. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good to me. Oh, glory. Just talking in tongues and shouting all over the place, shouting down the aisles of ShopRite. And you're making a mockery almost of God. I'm making a mockery of his people. I mean, sometimes you feel the spirit and God blesses you and you want to respond in a way, but there's a way to respond. There's a way to represent Christ, or we're not misrepresenting him. It's a difference. And you don't want that to be a turnoff. Amen. Jeremiah 31:3 says, the Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. So God has drawn us in. Look at the prophet Jeremiah said it, with his unfailing kindness, not with bashing, not with laws and rules and what you can't do, what you can't wear and what you can't, who you can't congregate with and what you can't eat and, you know, with how you must be covered and how many you can speak or you can't speak or whatever, but with kindness. That's how God has drawn us in. So that's how we should be drawn. We take that model and draw others in the same way with unfailing kindness. You stepped on my toe? That's okay. God loves you. You talked about me? That's okay. God loves you. I do too. Be kind even when it doesn't feel comfortable to be kind. Why? Because you're exercising those kindness muscles. And when you do that, your kindness muscles will be stronger as you exercise those kindness muscles. And when you're kind, when it doesn't feel comfortable, when you're kind for people that you know are talking about you, when you're kind to people that you don't, you think don't won't hear you, when you're kind to people that think don't care about you, just be kind. And what that does, your faith is being built up. Your kindness is being built up. Your muscles are being built up. Even if it's not received, just be kind. I dare you. Be kind to somebody that you don't know. This is your task for today, for this week. Each day, find somebody out there and share a kind word. Share a kind post. Find something encouraging. Share it. See what responses you might get. I love you. Just say I love you to people. Not to everybody, but just say God loves you. And watch the response. You may not be a million followers, or may not have a million likes, or you know, you may not be trending on TikTok, but I'd rather be trending with God than trending on TikTok. Amen. I want to meet God's algorithm, not TikTok's. Let's be kind to another. That's how God wants us to draw others in. Because he wants us to, like we talked about before, we talked about unity. He wants us to draw together as one. And how we do that matters. The way we do that matters. With loving kindness. Amen. And that's how even God did it way back in the beginning. When we failed, when we sinned and fall short, and all of us have sinned and have done wrong, lived a life unworthily. God loved us so much so that he sent his son. His son loved us so much that
He gave his life for you and for me. Why? Because he loved us. He was kind enough to go to the cross to die for your sins and for my sins. Jesus was kind enough to not respond in wrath. He was kind enough to not respond in a rebuttal. He was kind enough to not to say a mumbling word, but humbly submitted himself to the cross to die a pitiful death, a death that he didn't deserve, to pay a price that he didn't make, or pay a debt that he didn't make, but pay a price that we couldn't pay. Why? Because he loved us just that much. John 3:16 and 17 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." We come to a part in our services that I like to, that's we need to preach gospel. We need to share the good news of God, sharing the good news of Christ, and that Christ came to love us, and he is the Son of God, and God wants to be our Father. He wants to be Father of us all, and he wants us to be adopted. He wants us to be brought into the family of God, the family of Christ followers. With salvation, babies. And that's how he does it, through salvation, how he loves us. He saves us through our sins. Salvation ABCs is what we talked about. A is acknowledge or admit that we are sinners in need of forgiveness. Romans 3 and 23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And B, believe. Believe that not only Jesus died for our sins, but that he rose from the grave. Romans 5 and 8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And C, confess. Confess your faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Romans 10, 9 through 10 says, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." Admit, believe, confess. It's just that simple. Let's pray this prayer. Repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In your name I pray, amen. Listen, I want to communicate with you. I want to get in contact with you. I want to do life together. I want to connect with you. I want to be your pastor. I want to lead you to the place that God wants you to be. Your best days are ahead of you. There's some greatness that are yet to come, and I want to help you get there. I need you to contact me. Text the word ALL IN, A-L-L-I-N, to 609-831-3377. Again, text the word ALL IN, A-L-L-I-N, to 609-831-3377. Thank you so much for joining with us. I love you all. God bless you. Have a great day.